Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to your favorite show. It's Make Me a Musical.
Oh, we're back, baby. We're back, baby.
Yes. I've missed doing this because honestly, it does get our creativity going.
It's about time we've been inspired again, and I feel like I'm thoroughly inspired.
That's great. You actually picked the topic that we're doing this week, and I kind of want you to introduce it.
Sure. We're going to be doing a musical version of the 2011 Johnny Depp film. Well, I guess it's Johnny Depp starring film.
Yeah, it's a let's be clear. It's a Gore Verbinski film.
That is true.
Johnny Depp is it.
Johnny Depp is on the poster, and I'm looking at the poster, so that's why I said that.
Yes. It is an incredible film. If you haven't seen it, it might be the best Nickelodeon movie. Maybe
it definitely is. 100%. Which we do a lot of Nickelodeon movies on here.
We just did Rugrats in Paris and this. It's not like we did like, Series of Unfortunate Events or something.
Actually, that one's pretty good too, isn't it?
That would make a really good musical, but that's for another day.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon movies weren't all garbage terrible the way that like Disney Channel movies were.
No, Nickelodeon movies, actually, I feel like they have a pretty decent track record, to be honest.
I mean, let's think about the other ones. We've got like the Rugrats movie, which was the big one. You got Snow Day. Rugrats Go Wild.
The SpongeBob movie was good, though.
Yes. I think all three SpongeBob movies are better than you would expect, even the more recent one.
Don't think I've seen the most recent one, although I did see Sponge Out of Water, which was pretty decent.
I saw that one in theaters. Did I tell the story that I wanted to see Sponge Out of Water because I wanted to see 2D animation on the big screen. And then we go there and it's sold out and I had to see Jupiter Ascending instead. And I just remember being so angry the entire experience of seeing Jupiter Ascending.
You should have just went home.
People have now come back and said Jupiter Ascending is pretty good. I don't think I could ever get that bias out of my head ever again.
I don't know. I haven't seen that much of it, but
I think it's just that people miss original content with a big budget, as opposed to just Star Wars Episode 29, which I understand that, but let's not pretend that that original content was like groundbreaking.
All right, well, back to Rango.
Rango, yes.
So I've seen this movie twice, I think both within the span of this year, because holy crap, this movie's a banger.
Did it win Best Animated Feature? I think it lost.
No,
maybe I'm
won.
Incorrect.
It
okay,
won.
Good. That is well deserved. It is a great, great film. I wish Johnny Depp was not in it, but honestly, you don't feel him in it the way you do in like a Tim Burton movie.
He does fine. I think the best thing you can say about his performance is you can't entirely tell that it's him.
And it's like, surprising because this isn't like made of voice actors. These are based on made of real actors that are just doing a very good voice acting job. I know this isn't a review of Rango and we're trying to turn it into a musical, but gosh darn it, if you haven't seen Rango, please go see Rango.
Just go see Rango. It's just super good. It really is.
Cannot recommend it more. All right. So let's dive into the plot of Rango. So it's basically a liar coming in trying to... it's a Bug's Life, a guy that's trying to pull off a lie to save a town.
It's a very different type of story than you generally see, though. Like,
yes.
In a Bug's Life, he's like a person who's part of the society that everyone has like, oh, this is an outcast dummy, and he has to prove himself. Whereas this one, this is just like total newcomer, knows nothing, but he's like an actor, and he like decides that he's gonna pretend to be a hero. And then actually be a hero as well.
And let's think of the big three traits that we need to translate to stage, which is the tone, which is dark. It is shockingly dark.
Yeah.
With a good lighthearted sense of humor about it.
You have to do a good job with it too, because I feel like in the movie, you know, the animation, like that ugly animation style that they use, like almost intentionally.
Yes.
Sort of.
Everyone is ugly. Everyone is ugly.
So I feel like you'd want to actually do costumes on the stage and have it be like purposely ugly in a way.
I agree, but I feel like you kind of have to embrace the Julie Taymor side of it, where you can never always see the human despite this.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think that's a good impression, because it was a motion capture animated film, so always seeing the human movement to it, it was a very big part of it.
Yeah. Well, I guess beyond tone, because I mean, I agree with the tone and everything, and I think you'd want to go with like a, you know, kind of do music style wise, what they do is, you know, the spaghetti western sort of feel. And I think sticking with that would be the right idea.
Mm-hmm. But there hasn't been a western musical since like Annie Get Your Gun type. So I'd be very, very curious as to how a good ballad would sound with things. The other problem I see with this is Rango doesn't feel like a character that sings. And I know he's an actor, but we know very little about him before the story starts. We know nothing about his history or anything like that, and we never learned that.
What if he doesn't sing?
That is going to be my pitch, too. Where the town is the one that has all these needs, and Rango is this creature that comes in.
What if it's actually like, he starts singing when he finally decides that he's the hero. Like, he finally gets a song, like, halfway through.
I think he should get it right when the climax happens. Like, when he finally decides to stop acting and become part of the town.
That's actually would be a very cool stylistic thing that I don't think I've seen any musical ever do.
I will say I just recently saw this. Schmigadoon does this, where Keegan-Michael Key comes into this musical town and like avoids singing until the very last episode.
Okay. I mean, so it's not purely original, but I mean...
No, but it works for the story.
I think it would work well. So you could almost have like the, I guess you'd call them a Greek chorus, but it's actually more of a mariachi band.
Yes, you cannot lose them.
Yeah, you could have them do like the opening number very easily. Honestly, the opening number has almost already been written for us in the fact that it's in the movie. we just have to add a bit to it.
Who does the score to Rango? This is
that's actually a very good question.
It feels like it would be a Hans Zimmer, since I know he works with Gore Verbinski quite a bit. Okay. So that's not uncommon to turn his music into like a proper song with like the Lion King and all that.
In combination with Latin rock band Los Lobos.
You know what? I'm into it. Let's bring Los Lobos. They should compose the score to this.
Yeah.
Let's see what the soundtrack is, because I want to keep as much of that original score as we can, because I think the songs and music here are great.
There isn't that many like full length songs, but there's a couple that we could keep. And I think the opening is one of them, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly.
So I have another pitch. There is that other character, the girl character that
Beans, I believe is her name.
I think we should do what Beetlejuice the musical did to Lydia and give her a real emotional through line and kind of make her the emotional core of the entire story.
I absolutely agree, because honestly, in the movie, she should have been that, and they kind of didn't. If there's one complaint about the movie, it's the fact that she doesn't get enough.
She's just kind of weird, which is fine, but everyone's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And so what is her backstory in the movie? She, like, lost her mom, right?
She lost her both.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, her mom is just never mentioned, and her dad... she is in denial, but he fell down a mine shaft. but like the other characters aren't like, if you mention it to her, she has like her panic attack that she has.
Okay, there's a lot of stuff. She is the emotional core of the story, and Rango kind of just bumbles into her. And we got to make her much more openly emotional in a weird way. And much more into Rango as a human being. Or
she also has the more direct tie to the actual story as well, because her big spoilers, I guess. I mean, if you're watching
this, Rango
should be okay to be spoiled. But she has the last plot of land that needs to be purchased by the bad guy to, you know, redevelop and create the futures or whatever they were trying to do.
So she is technically the most important character, and Rango is kind of like the eyes of the audience.
Yeah, like literally speaking, that's how it is, you know.
Mm-hmm. He's got big eyes.
Yes. Well, he actually has kind of small eyes. They're like beady but huge. I don't know. it's a weird... He's very ugly.
Rango is an ugly man. But there's all these fun side characters, and that's what most of the film is kind of reveling in these side characters and these extra things, which would be great for a big ensemble.
It's also, the movie almost feels like it's got like a couple different plot lines that just kind of all connect. You know, like you have the where he's just kind of wandering in the West and getting hunted by this bird. And then you also have this part where they go underground and try to get the water back from these thieves, which is just, it's like kind of connected to the story, but it just feels like this like offshoot where they go on some other adventure.
Yes, I think in theory we should cut all of that because that doesn't add itself to a musical story, and we're going to be adding a lot of time for songs and character builds.
Yeah,
and growth.
That's what I was getting to, is I think if we focus more directly on the plot at hand, we could add a lot more emotional depth to the story.
Mm-hmm. I would also like to try different variations of country and western. I feel like that is untapped potential, and I don't even particularly like country music, but there are so many variations of it. It would be cool that each person has a different variation of like country cowboy style.
The bad guy should be like bro country, like modern yes. country, or pop country, I think is the proper term.
And I think like I was actually going to suggest Beans be a little bit more like rock edge country, not quite Taylor Swift, but more in that vein.
Okay.
Whereas the older folks should be like the Johnny Cash style.
And then Rango himself should be either at first maybe like a true Broadway style. If
I agree.
He has anything, and yes. then later on he can adopt an actual like spaghetti western tone.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking more he's wearing the persona, so he is like the least authentic version of it, so it is more like, oh, cowboys just... and Indians and all that kind of thing. And then yeah. when he gets there, he finally understands the emotional core of it, as dumb as that sounds, where it is much more of like Americana country, like as opposed, you know how being there, oh shit, seeing you from the end of Groundhog Day, where that's a very like country, I appreciate the small town kind of song. I think that would be it with a Broadway voice.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, yeah, no, that's good. How about
you need to break down some song ideas?
Yeah. Opening song. I mean, so the opening of the movie is pretty basic. It's just like he's getting moved in a car and then the car crash. Well, there's like a car accident and he flies out of the car and is
yeah.
trapped in the desert. I mean, you could easily do something like that by just having like a very sudden background change somehow occur.
I think this would be a great show for good projections, you know, like yeah. using really good projections to your advantage.
So like skip the whole like action aspect of it and just have mm-hmm. it be like he's in his tank and then boom, just shifts to the desert or whatever.
I would like the idea. You've seen Django Unchained, right?
I actually haven't, but you can go ahead and explain it.
Well, and Morricone does this incredible like score to that film where it's very like original, like Western style. But he also, there's this song about Django. It's like Django, Django. And I'm like, that sounds like it would fit better in Rango. So I kind of want to give him like an intro song where
he
it's
already,
like this...
he actually already has one.
I want like much more like original, like Western Clint Eastwood style. Because I remember that one being a little...
Have you not heard Rango's actual theme?
I think I have. I've seen this movie a couple times, but it has been a few years, I will admit.
The Rango theme song by Los Lobos is kind of like a Latin rock song where they're just like, Rango! I don't know.
I think we need to start with that and then immediately juxtapose it with what a lame piece of shit he is.
Well, of course.
Because that's the only way you can really
Yeah, that would be... That would be a great intro. Like you introduce it as if like this is like our hero, our big Western hero, and then it's just like him sitting down with that like mannequin that he has.
Or he's playing a role and then we realize we're just in his crate.
Yeah.
His little, one of those two is immediately juxtaposing it. And then we introduce the town and we give it like the actual proper I want song of the town, which is we wanna have our independence in a way.
Well, they want water.
That too, but they want to be disconnected, untethered to like this big company, this big evil man.
Well, they don't know he's evil, do they?
I mean, doesn't everyone know every capitalist is evil?
That's not true. I would say at the beginning of the show, their want specifically is that they want more water. They don't necessarily know that the reason they don't have the water is the mayor guy.
Okay. Yeah, so something like, we need a pun there, like, maybe it's like this dry old town, and then they literally mean it like dries and not wet.
Yeah, there's also this, like, do you remember the, like, ritual that they had to get water?
Yes. It was strange, and Rango had the
extremely bizarre
reaction to it. Maybe we could just have him enter in during that time. I don't think that's how it happens in the movie, but I think it would work better. Not,
but it might work better to introduce, like, holy crap, this is a very weird place that doesn't make sense.
Because the Rango falling out of his crate, that's kind of the prologue, and this is like the proper opening number. And then we follow that up. Rango's like, what's going on? And I am a hero. I am Rango. I can save y'all. And then we kind of fade into Beans and make focus on her for a minute, where we give her the I Want song, showing that she's the emotional core.
Well, she's the one who brings him into town in the movie. Do we introduce her in the town? Like,
we introduce her during the ritual, and she just kind of drags him in with them. Like, I feel like he just kind of wanders until he wanders into the ritual, and then they kind of have their meet cute together during that.
So there's a scene in the movie that I really like, that I think we have to keep, want to keep. The scene where he goes into the tavern and he tells the tall tale that finally, like, it's him deciding that he's going to pretend to be a hero. And he tells this tall tale about how he killed 7 people with 1 bullet. And the whole town is, like, really into it. And now they think he's a hero. One, I think you have to have that scene, because otherwise the town has no reason to believe he's a hero.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And two, I think that would be a really funny song.
I agree. All right. I think that should happen after Bean's song, though. I think yes, we kind of need to introduce the stakes, introduce the wands, and then supply Rango as the answer to this question. So I think that should be the follow-up to Bean's I Want song, which should be like, what would it be like? Because she is kind of goofy and funny. Like, it's not like she's this sad dour character, she just has anxiety.
So I think Beans wants things to be like they were, in a way. Like, she wants her farm to come back, and she wants to pretend her dad isn't dead. So I don't fully know what her want song would be. Sadly, the movie hasn't given this to us, and we might have to come up with something.
We have to figure something out. I like the idea of like before, like that's a good rhymey title. But I think it should be like, it starts out normal. Like, I wish things were better like before. I wish the grass was greener like before. And like all those normal things, until it's like, I wish my dad didn't fall. People wouldn't stop saying my dad fell like down a mine shaft. Like it gets more bonkers as it goes on, which I think would be this strangely sincere song, but also get laughs from the audience at the same time and get the point across there.
I can live with that.
And then halfway through, she has an anxiety attack, and then she's like catching her breath, and then she finishes the song.
Just all the music stops, and like everything stops,
and she's just like, and then like she comes back to it. I think that's funny. I like this. All right, then we have, here's my pitch for the 7 1 bullet. Like, I feel like that's a good title for the song. you know, in The Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy is kind of like explaining what happened and everyone's singing around her, but she's not really singing. I think that's it, where he'll describe something and then people will sing about what he just described. So there is a song about
Rango. It should be like them almost filling in the blanks for him too. Like they're just buying his hype.
Yes, but it should never be him singing because he's not a part of this town anymore, or yet.
Yet, I'm good with that, and he can. It might even make it better because he can just like talk very dramatically about what he did over music or whatever, and then people are like filling in the blanks behind him.
There is a line that I like, and I think I'm following through this. I forget who said it, but they said in musical theater you only sing the truth. which is the reason why Rango never sings until the end, because he doesn't buy any of his bullshit, and it's a big old lie.
Yeah, which I think the end, which ties in perfectly to this, is, do you remember what happens at the end with the rattlesnake Jake?
Yes, it's like a shootout.
Well, no, he finally gets trapped in like the chamber or whatever, with the water, and then he manages to get out by just pressing a bullet against the glass, essentially. And then Rattlesnake Jake, who was like this big bad guy working for the mayor, realizes that he actually solved all the problems with one bullet. And he tips his hat one legend to another. And I feel like you can just reprise one bullet, but Rango's actually singing it.
I love it. Yep, I love it. Finally. He finally gets to sing his own chorus to his own. He became a tall tale.
Yeah.
He became the tall. This should happen now.
See, that's good. I think that's actually really good. Like the first version, he never sings it, but then when it's true, then he comes back to it.
Hell yes. All right. But then the point is, right when this point is when we kind of diverge into several like little plot cul-de-sacs where there's like fun, entertaining vignettes in the movie, but I'm not sure that's the best thing for this.
It's
musical.
Too out there for a stage show, I think. People wouldn't, and I get the intention with the movie, and it works well in the movie, but the problem kind of ends up being there's not like a good plot to follow. Like the audience kind of knows what's going on. Like it's pretty obvious that this mayor has all this water for some reason and no one else does, and you kind of know what's happening and you're kind of just along for the ride with Rango, whereas I feel like on a stage show that might be more frustrating.
What we need is a good red herring where they think they're going towards this. Maybe we could even think that Rattlesnake Jake is the full villain, and then we kind of frame it that the mayor is much more less involved.
What if the mayor actually sends him, instead of sending him on this weird chase after water thieves or whatever, the mayor tells him that Rattlesnake Jake has taken the water and sends him to hunt him or something.
That sounds fun.
When they finally find him, they realize that Rattlesnake Jake is actually working with the mayor.
Yeah, a real kind of water news from Monsters, Inc. kind of reveal where we all know who the bad guys are, but it's kind of fun to watch the reveals happen.
And it's not too far from what the movie does, but it doesn't have this like weird total offshoot thing that's not necessary.
And I think Bean should be on every single like thing because she is our emotional through line. Instead of kind of staying back, which is what's kind of weirdly sexist considering how important she is as a character. I feel like she could have like snuck on and been involved more.
I mean, I agree. If there's anything this movie did wrong, it's the fact that they don't really have like an actual main character in the movie.
It's Rango, but
Rango's like not involved in anything directly. You know, like he almost has this like I can leave at any time sort of feel.
Oh, I have a great delusional thing that fits in with Bean's character, but maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if you think she's convinced if the water comes back and everything returns like before, her dad will come back. So she's like really hell-bent on getting the water back just as much as everyone else, if not more.
So how do you let her down easy on that?
I feel like she kind of has to let herself down.
I feel like the message there would be it's not good to be caught up in the past, and it's good to try to change things for the better, but you're not going to return to the before.
I feel like it has to come when Rango is revealed to be a fake, whereas if he's a fake, then that means, you know, XYZ come to that conclusion. And then she can finally go on with her life when Rango lives up to the potential. Like she realizes, the water may not bring things back, but at least it's better. Like, it has to be a slow burn revelation where she has her darkest moment at the same time Rango has his darkest moment. And then he accidentally says something a little too far. Like, I think we need the liar revealed thing a little more. I know we kind of glance over it and people just kind of forgive him pretty quickly in the movie. I feel like Rango needs to be real nasty in that moment. And he's like, your dad's dead. No matter how much water I bring back, it's not bringing him back.
Maybe he's, for like a lot of it, he's playing along and saying like, yeah, we'll get the water back. And then later he's like, I can't bring your dad back. That's ridiculous.
You know what? Out of all the people I fooled, the easiest one was you because you're so stupid. You know, something like that.
The thing in the movie is and it's good in the movie. They don't really do the whole liar reveal.
No,
thing.
No.
He's not really a liar necessarily. He's just kind of a fool and not who he's. He's not entirely who he says he is, but he's actually is trying to be.
Yes. I think we need to make him slightly nastier, just slightly. Yeah. And the reason why you have a liar revealed thing is not for the character being the liar, their story arc. It is for the other people. But sadly, there aren't many other people to do this. In our story, we need Beans. And that would be an emotional wake-up call for her.
Well, we're actually pushing on a half an hour here.
Kind of.
And I think the point of this is we're supposed to do it within a half an hour. Is there anything we're supposed to finish up with here before?
We need the climax and a villain song. Those are the big thing. We need the 11 o'clock number, which I think belongs to Beans, where she thinks that she can become the hero that Rango is supposed to be. And then because she's still deep in that delusion, even though he spat out at her, and then she kind of gets herself in danger. And that's what brings Rango back to the call more than the town itself, but Beans, and he feels responsible for her. That is our little bit of change from there.
I think the villain songs, you'd have two villain songs. You have Rattlesnake Jake, who is like a secondary villain, and his villain song would just be something mean. You know, he's just a nasty guy.
But the important thing is you kind of want like the shaky noise throughout it. Like you want to integrate the rattlesnake noises into the song a bit.
Yeah. And then the more important villain song, the mayor's song, would actually be probably something that we could contrast Bean's song with, because the mayor's whole thing is that he wants to bring about the future where gunslingers and the West is, you know, like the old Wild West is what I mean, is doesn't exist anymore, you know. So he would be more about, I'm going to bring about the future and I don't care who gets left behind, versus Beans wanting to go back to what it was like before.
I think it needs to be in the opening number where we introduce him. And then we kind of contrast it with what he says later. So it's kind of the same tune used differently.
But yeah, because he's kind of a, you know, twist villain. Before twist villains were really like this gigantic thing, he was a bit of a twist villain, I guess.
Yeah, and not like a big twist villain, like not Hans from Frozen.
You know he's the bad guy. You're just trying to wait until you can figure out what the plan actually is.
Right. It's like the villain from Halloween Town. It's like, you kind of know he was the villain, but whatever.
Yeah. All right. And then we usually talk about who we would want to get to direct and write music for it. I think we briefly discussed music.
I think we should have, some, I think, there's no one that has this kind of style anymore. I would almost want a new composer to come in and impart their own kind of like Western style, because no one does stuff like Rango or the way that I think Rango should sound. From the movie.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there is a lot of Latin rock groups, and I think that would be the sound I would be wanting to look for. That, and obviously someone who is a little more versatile than just rock, but that sort of sound could work. Maybe if you got like a Latin rock band and like what the movie does, someone who can orchestrate it in a more, a different way as well.
We could do the SpongeBob thing where we just get a bunch of country artists in it to write for specific characters, but I don't much like that.
I think that it works in SpongeBob to some degree, but that's because SpongeBob doesn't necessarily have to be that cohesive. I feel like a narrative like this, you would want it to be more cohesive.
I agree.
Is there any director? I don't know directors very well, but
I think Alex Timbers would do actually a very good job with this, who did the Moulin Rouge thing, but he also did Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. I think he'd be very, very good there. I really think a more direct version of this. Honestly, part of me kind of wishes Gore Verbinski would just come in and do it, because I think he's a great director and I think he'd do great on stage. Get him to do Marvel movies or something good. Give him more work, please.
Yeah, what has he done, honestly?
After Rango, he did The Lone Ranger, and then his career died.
Oh, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
A Cure for Wellness. I don't even know what that is.
Spaceless, which isn't out yet. The only one of these I've actually seen is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
But he didn't direct that. He just produced it.
Yeah, he just produced it. He didn't even direct it. I've never seen A Cure for Wellness. I don't even know what that is.
Mouse Hunt's a good movie. He's done a lot of good movies. He did The American, The Ring. Then he got caught in Pirate's World, and then he did The Lone Ranger and Rango. Rango's his best movie.
Yeah, although honestly, like, I've never seen The Ring, so I won't comment on that, but I've heard it's okay. But like, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies he did weren't like bad.
The first one I think is a proper amazing film. The second two are just good blockbusters.
Yeah, but I mean, they're like, they're good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why they don't hire him for anything.
The Lone Ranger was really, really bad. That's why.
I mean, sure, but like one bad movie versus at least four good movies.
I don't know what to tell you. It was that bad. But what do you think Ben Brantley would say about this?
Ben Brantley would hate it, which is all the better.
Thank God for that. All right. We just made a musical, guys.
Thank you. And really, the point of the episode is go watch Rango.
Yes, please go watch Rango. And what do you think we should make a musical of next week? We're running out of ideas.
Yeah.
This premise might have run its course.
You know, we do what we can.
We do it when we're having fun. And this was a lot of fun to talk about. And I kind of want to see this Rango musical, to be honest. For Beans.
I would absolutely love to see Rango as a musical. I think that would be amazing.
I agree. So, people on the internet, go write your musicals about Rango.
Yeah, and we will see you.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.